If you were out and about in Miami Beach, Florida, and you happened to encounter an older man in a red fedora wearing a pair of wire-rimmed glasses, you probably wouldn't think too much about him as soon as he was out of sight. You'd never guess that unassuming man was worth billions of dollars, and that he started out as a simple optometrist. But how does an eye doctor with no family money become a billionaire? Meet Herbert Wertheim, the greatest inventor you've never heard of. Wertheim's parents were Jewish immigrants who fled Nazi Germany and settled in Philadelphia. There, Wertheim was born in 1939, at the tail end of the Great Depression. In 1945, the family moved to Hollywood, Florida, where they opened a bakery. The family's home was a small apartment right above their business. Herbert struggled in school, his dyslexia providing him with a hurdle that interfered with his success. At the time, dyslexia was not understood nearly as well and would not be categorized as an official learning disability until 1963, or receive an official definition until the World Federation of Neurology's Research Group on Developmental Dyslexia and World Literacy in 1968. So, the resources available to Herbert at the time were very limited. He described his difficult experiences at school in a 2019 interview with Forbes. In those days, they just called you dumb. I would sit in the corner, sometimes with a dunce cap on. In the 1950s, as he entered his teen years, a combination of frustrations with school and an abusive father at home caused Wertheim to act out, running away from home and skipping school regularly. Rather than spend his time at school or at home, he spent his time hunting and fishing in the Everglades. He would sell whatever game he caught, including frog legs, to locals. His extracurricular antics didn't end there. He would hitchhike around Florida, picking oranges and grapefruits. Finally, his absences got too much, and when he was 16 years old, Wertheim was forced to appear in court in front of a judge to answer for charges of truancy. The judge gave him two options, state reformatory or the U.S. Navy. To Wertheim, the choice was clear. At only 17 years old, he enlisted in the U.S. Navy and was stationed in San Diego. It was then Wertheim told Forbes that his life changed. He said, "They give you tests all the time to see how smart you are, and out of 135 in our class, I think I was at the top, especially in mechanics and organization." For the first time, Wertheim felt smart. His confidence skyrocketed, and he threw himself into studying physics and chemistry, then began working in naval aviation. This is also the period of his life where Wertheim began to invest, in stocks specifically. At this point, the American economy was finally fully recovered from the disastrous crash of 1929, and stocks were on the rise, particularly aerospace stocks. At 18 years old, Wertheim used his Navy stipend to buy Learjet stock. Learjet, at the time called Lear Incorporated, was known for aerospace instruments and electronics, as well as the development of radio direction finders, autopilots, and the first-ever fully automatic aircraft landing system. During a visit to a Sikorsky aircraft factory in Connecticut, where the Navy's S-58 helicopters were built, Wertheim met the company's founder, Bill Lear, in person. Wertheim was impressed by Lear's innovations in the aerospace and electronics fields and felt compelled to make the company the first investment of his adult life. From there, Wertheim had been bitten by the proverbial stock market bug. Regularly, every time he was paid, he would invest a portion of that paycheck into the stock market. If you noticed, we said he invested regularly, because consistency is super important when it comes to investing. However, consistency is only one small part of the big picture for your financial plan. Luckily for you, Facet is here to help with all of your financial planning needs, including investment management, saving you from the potential headache that can come along with the trial and error of DIY investing. With a Facet membership, you'll work with a team of certified financial planner professionals and experts across investments, career benefits, retirement planning, and more to build your unique financial plan, revealing choices you didn't know you had and ensuring you're making the right ones. They'll also work with you to execute your plan. And unlike traditional financial advisors, Facet doesn't charge you a percentage of your investments. And there are no minimum assets required to invest with them. Their flat fee membership means when you make more on your investments, you keep more. Facet's ongoing dynamic strategies will evolve with you, so you never have to make a financial decision alone again. Head to facet.com/infographics for their limited time offer. And while you're there, check out their financial wellness quiz. It takes less than 5 minutes and will unlock insights into what you're doing right and what could still be better when it comes to your money. And now let's hear more about how Wertheim cracked the investing code before Facet was around to help. After the Navy, Wertheim maintained his industrious spirit. He traveled door-to-door selling encyclopedias. From there, he attended Brevard Community College and studied engineering at the University of Florida. Though he was studying engineering there, he never received his degree. Instead, he found a new passion, the human eye. While taking his engineering classes, Wertheim worked for a fledgling federal agency you may have heard of, NASA. At NASA, Wertheim worked with a department dedicated to improving instrumentation for manned flights. There, he became fascinated by instruments optimized for vision, which led him to an interest in the study and the health of the eye itself. In 1963, he received the opportunity to formally study his new interest in the form of a scholarship to the Southern College of Optometry in Memphis. He took the chance, and after finishing his degree, he moved back to South Florida and opened an optometry practice. There, he served mostly working-class patients, some of whom could not pay their bills with money, and instead compensated the doctor with fresh fruit like mangoes and avocados. Wertheim saw patients during the day and worked in the evenings on another one of his personal passions, inventing. Like the department at NASA so many years ago, he wanted to innovate and create new technology that would help people see better. In 1969, he was finally successful. He invented an eyeglass tint for plastic lenses that filtered and absorbed UV rays, helping to prevent the development of cataracts. As the Vietnam War raged on and plastics became the go-to material for glasses, the demand for a tint like Wertheim had invented was rather high. He sold it in a royalty deal for $22,000, which he would never see due to a series of contract disputes. But he was not discouraged from inventing. Instead, he doubled down. In 1970, he set up Brain Power Inc., a technology consulting firm that quickly became home to more of his inventions. At Brain Power Inc., he developed tint, dyes, and other eyewear technology. He was still seeing patients while conducting experiments and developing new technology in a little laboratory space. 1 year after establishing Brain Power Inc., he managed to mix up a chemical formula that could remove dyes from plastic lenses, restoring them to their original clear state. He mixed this neutralizer in a coffee can and showed some to his wife Nicole. This, he told her, was going to make them millionaires. As it turned out, he was right. In addition to the neutralizer, Wertheim invented aesthetically driven lens tints for UV protection and tints to help ease the symptoms of disorders such as epilepsy. With all of these products on offer, BPI quickly became one of the world's largest optical tint manufacturers. They sold their products to companies such as Zeiss, Bausch & Lomb, and Polaroid. In addition to the neutralizers and tints, the company began manufacturing cleaners, lab equipment, and other useful accessories for optometrists and ophthalmologists. In recent years, BPI has manufactured colored dyes that have been used to diagnose and aid in the treatment of conditions such as dyslexia, Parkinson's-related dyskinesia, and childhood migraines. Now with more than 100 patients under his belt, BPI has an annual net income of around $10 million. This has given him plenty of money to continue his habit of investing. Forbes has compared Wertheim's investment strategy to that of Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, and Jack Bogle. Before we continue to examine Wertheim's strategy, let's take a closer look at these three iconic investors and their strategies. Warren Buffett is one of the wealthiest men in the entire world, and his vast wealth has been attributed to his investment strategy. Buffett follows the Benjamin Graham school of value investing. Essentially, value investors look for securities with prices that are unjustifiably low based on what their intrinsic worth would indicate. He evaluates companies on their merits as a whole, rather than focusing on the minutiae of their stocks. He considers factors such as company performance, company debt, and company profit margins. Value investors like Buffett also consider whether companies are public or private, how reliant the company is on commodities, and how cheap the stocks are. Peter Lynch is the former manager of the Magellan Fund at Fidelity, a major investment brokerage. He's regarded as one of the most successful investors of all time. He took over the fund in 1977 at 33 and ran it for 13 years before retiring in 1990 at the age of 46. His investment strategy included selecting stocks from familiar companies and then further evaluating them based on business models, competitive landscapes, and growth potential. He recommends diversification of one's stock portfolio and emphasizes the profitability of undervalued stocks with great growth potential. He's known for inventing the price-to-earnings growth ratio, which allows investors to more accurately determine whether a stock is inexpensive compared to its growth potential. He also has recommended prioritizing companies with below-average price-to-earnings ratios for their industry, combined with the potential to perform well. Peter Lynch wrote in his 1989 book, One Up on Wall Street, about the value of investing in what you know. This meant using any specialized knowledge that an individual might have to influence their chosen investments. His investment in Lear was exactly what Wertheim was doing. John Bogle was the founder of the Vanguard Group, one of the largest investment firms in the world. He's also credited with creating index investing, a passive investment technique that attempts to generate returns similar to a broad market index. It involves the buy and hold strategy, which is exactly what it sounds like. Index investing has several advantages, such as eliminating some of the biases and uncertainties that can arise in a stock picking strategy. Index investing was intended to make investing easier and less costly for the average investor. Wertheim often invests in stocks based on their company's patent portfolios. He spends 12 hours a week reading various patents. Due to his research background and his work as an investor, he's able to evaluate these patents effectively. Some of the stocks he's chosen to invest in based on patent portfolios include IBM, 3M, and Intel. He told Forbes that he believes in sticking with a stock you truly believe in. If you like something at $13 a share, you should like it at $12, $11, or $10 a share. If a stock continues to go down and you believe in it and did your research, you buy more. You're actually getting a better deal. He continued, "My goal is to buy and almost never sell. I let it appreciate as much as it can and use the dividends to move forward." One example of a stock that he has treated this way is Microsoft, which he has held stock in since 1986. When the Windows operating system was released in 1985, he realized that it could compete with Apple. The shares have been paying dividends since 2003 and are now worth more than $160 million. He also purchased shares of Apple in 1980 and then more when the stock had fallen in value in the 1990s. And today, his Apple stock holdings are worth $195 million. Of course, not every stock he's invested in has paid off in the same way. If a position reverses by 25%, he will usually sell the stock. For example, after he invested in BlackBerry, he watched it continue to drop and drop until he realized that it needed to be abandoned. When buying high-yielding stocks, he'll use leverage in a limited capacity. He told Forbes, "By using the dividends to offset margin interest, the government is helping you increase your portfolio value." BlackBerry's failure was not the only loss that Wertheim had encountered over the years. In 1982, Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker raised the federal funds rate from 12 to 20%, and the market dipped by 20%. This was a reminder of the dangers of leverage, to the tune of $50 million. He also learned how to make losses work for him. "If I have a large loss in a stock I like," he told Forbes, "I will purchase more, usually twice to three times the original purchase, and wait the 30 days to sell the original position and book the tax loss." Another strategy Wertheim uses to find companies to invest in is looking for companies with strong management. One example is HEICO, an aerospace and electronics company based in Hollywood, Florida. Lawrence Mendelson was a real estate investor who worked to take over the failing HEICO. At the time, HEICO was making jet engine combustors, but after Mendelson took it over, it expanded its range of products to include additional replacement parts. In 1997, Germany's Lufthansa acquired a minority stake in the company, and its stocks rose in price sixfold. Not only was HEICO now on the map, but they were one of the few FAA-approved airplane replacement parts manufacturers. HEICO continued to expand its range of products, and as air travel demand increased, its profits also increased. Today, HEICO stocks are $80, and Wertheim's original investment of $5 million has grown to a worth of over $800 million. Now in his 80s, Herbert Wertheim spends most of his spare time with his family and frequently takes voyages on the world. The Earth's largest luxury residential ship that circumnavigates the globe regularly. He also continues to invest his money buying stock in BP's hydrogen fuel cells and General Electric. General Electric's patents are exciting to him, particularly those for 3D printing engine parts. Wertheim was not only inspired by Buffett in terms of his investing strategy, he also signed the Bill Gates and Warren Buffett Giving Pledge and has committed to giving away at least half of his money, primarily to public education. When he signed the pledge, he wrote, "I would not have achieved the education and opportunities that I have had without the help of our public university education system." At Florida International University's main campus, the impact of his philanthropy can be seen plainly. There is the Herbert Wertheim College of Medicine, the Nicole Wertheim College of Nursing and Health Sciences, the Herbert and Nicole Wertheim Performing Arts Center, and the Wertheim Conservatory. he gave $50 million to FIU and pledged to donate to UC San Diego in order to help establish a school of public health there. In October 2022, he donated $100 million to the University of Florida Health's Scripps Institute, which was renamed the Herbert Wertheim UF Scripps Institute for Biomedical Innovation and Technology. These university buildings contain state-of-the-art technology, such as laser imaging, which can help measure the retinal temperature of the eye. He's also been chairman of the Dr. Herbert and Nicole Wertheim Family Foundation since 1977, which supports hundreds of educational, cultural, and healthcare organizations with donations and grants. For example, the foundation helped found the Koala and Asian River Otter projects at the Miami Metro Zoo, built the public radio station in Vail, Colorado, and funded a five-year PBS contract for National Geographic. Not only is Herbert Wertheim an example of how to invest one's money smartly, but he also exemplifies how to give back and use that wealth to make the world a better place. Not bad for an eye doctor from humble beginnings.